Right. Hope you're doing well so far. This week, as we've been preparing, I've been doing a little bit of research that I wanted to share with you right off the bat. January is naturally a time to kind of restart some things, to kick things off. And how many of you knew that 40% of Americans actually make New Year's resolutions? How many of you knew that? Nobody did. Neither did I before, so it's not like I'm really smart. I didn't make it up. I actually looked that statistic up, but I think it'd be really interesting if we just kind of by a show of hands this morning would just say, I'm one of those people. I'm the kind of person I like to make New Year's resolutions. How many of you? You can raise your hand. Let's vote together and leave it up for just a second. Look around the room, would you? Look around. Leave your hands up. It's okay. Okay, so not even close to 40% in this room. All right? And how many of you that didn't raise your hand now, how many of you would say, I never make New Year's resolutions? Just don't do it at all. Look at those people. Leave your hands up. Everybody take a look around. Okay, so some of you that never make them, I'm sure you have your reasons. I personally don't think that New Year's resolutions are a bad thing. I think that they're kind of a good thing because life goes through cycles. You kind of have some ups, some downs, and some this ways and that ways throughout the course of your life. And naturally, it's good to have some times built in when you can kind of get a restart or kind of get things back on track in your life. And I think that January always provides a really good time for that. And as a staff, as we've been preparing for this series, we thought, you know what, January, the beginning of the year, it's a great time to just talk about getting things back on track in our lives. But it's really interesting, you know, a lot of us start out with really good intentions. And as I was kind of digging around, preparing for this message today, I came across this meme, and you know, it's a little bit, obviously it's a little bit pessimistic, but it was really funny. It said, I can't believe it's already been an entire year since I didn't change my life. You know, and that's kind of the routine that unfortunately a lot of us fall into. We get in this pattern of making these good intentions and intending to do the right thing, and life happens. And so here we are already at the very end of the first week of January in 2018. Can you believe that? 2018. And some of us, apparently like three of us in the room, made New Year's resolutions. And I'm curious, how many of you that actually made those New Year's resolutions this year, if you'd be honest with me, how many of you, by a show of hands once again, how many of you actually have stuck with those already? We're at the end of the first year and you're still going. Kind of. some of you are like, I don't know. You know, who knows? Maybe you're embarrassed to like say, nah. But anyway, here's another statistic. Out of those 40% of people that make New Year's resolutions, only 8% actually keep them. Wow. That's kind of sad, isn't it? You know, if you did the math there, because it's a little bit confusing. It's not 8% total. It's 8% of the 40%. So if you really do the math and break that down, like simply, if we'd started with 100 people, only 40 of those would actually make the New Year's resolutions. Well, 8% of the 40 breaks down to like 3 point something, okay? So out of the original group, it's a very small percentage of people who are actually diligent enough to keep their New Year's resolutions. For one reason or another, most of us start out with great intentions, and from time to time, we stick to them, but most of the time, something happens and we get off track. And so January, here we are, January of 2018, this is the perfect time in your life to determine, I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to stick to it. And how many of you have a guess as to what the number one New Year's resolution typically is? Lose weight. There you go. Number one, most popular New Year's resolution, people decide they're going to eat healthier and they're going to lose weight. That's always number one. Any idea what number two would be? Exercise. Somebody said exercise. I think that's up there in the list as well. They kind of lumped it in one category, but look at the next one. People want to save money or get out of debt. Okay, so people always have great intentions with their health, and they always have great intentions with their finances. And unfortunately, there's a lot of unhealthy people out there. I'll include myself in that category, and a lot of people who are totally broke as well. But this is the time right now, January, when we are all going to get back on track and we are going to resolve during this series to take one little step at a time and we're going to make this the best year of our life. Anybody want to do that with me?
Yeah.
Man, talk about exciting stuff. I remember when I was a kid, there was one little game that I loved to play. It was actually a toy, but how many of you remember what slot cars are or a slot car track? Anybody know what those are? Slot car tracks, man, when we were kids, they could entertain us for hours and hours providing that they would work. But a slot car track, essentially, if you don't know what that is, it's basically this little electric race car track, and they come in all sorts of different configurations. You could piece them together to make the shape, whatever. But basically, through that track, there were a couple of slots essentially that were powered, and you would put a race car on there, or a car, and as the car, the little piece on the bottom made contact with the track, it would provide the power so that as you stood there with your control, you could make the thing go around the track. And the trick was essentially to figure out as you're racing your car around how fast you could actually get the thing to go without flying off the corner. And if you were really good, you could get it to where you were totally maxed out. I mean, this car would fly around the track and it would just stick to the corners and you were in control of all that, making sure that it stayed on track the whole time. And I loved doing those things because it was like this whole thing of how far, how fast, how fast can you possibly take this thing? And so we would sit there and we would race our cars around. But of course, inevitably, lots of things would happen from time to time to cause these things to just fly off and they'd smash on the wall and stuff. And it was great because they were kind of indestructible. I mean, the plastic might break around the edge, but you'd put them back together and you'd be flying around again. But, you know, one of the things that would get you off track is obviously too much speed. You know, it would literally come off the track. Or from time to time, the little piece on the bottom would get dirty and it wouldn't make a great contact. Or a piece of the track itself would be missing a little bit of the current. And so you'd have like a dead spot or something where the car would just kind of stall. And so you would have to do little things to kind of figure out, okay, not only am I in control of how fast this car speeds around the track, but, you know, I've got to keep this thing clean and make sure that it stays running smooth so that when I put the car on the track, it stays where it's supposed to go and it goes around in a circle. We would do this for hours and hours, and it was so much fun, and I'm sure those of you who remember have similar experiences, but the thing is, our lives are a lot like this little race car track, essentially, where there are times when life is just going too fast, and a corner comes our way, and we essentially just have too much going into that corner, and we fly off track, or we're just not making contact enough to provide the power, the strength to actually move us forward down the track. There are lots of different variables in life, and we all go through those seasons. And this morning, as you come to church at the end of this first week already, I guarantee you, lots and lots of stuff going on in your life already this year. And many of us are in a different place on the track, essentially. You might be in a place this morning where your life is totally out of control. There's a corner coming and you are just headed way too fast and you are unprepared with the speed that your life is currently on to take that corner, and you know you're about to fly off track. Or maybe you actually did fly off track. Maybe your life is out of control right now. Or maybe for some of you, it's really not, but things just don't seem to be running as smooth as they could be. Maybe you need a little tune-up in your life. Well, January is naturally that time when we get back on track. We get back in the routine after the holidays of just kind of normal everyday life. We go back to work. The kids go back to school. We get back in the gym. We do all sorts of things to get back on track. And one of them should naturally be, and I want to challenge you in this, to make a goal in your spiritual life to get back on track. And that's the whole purpose of this. It's not some mystical or crazy thing that we don't have really the ability to control, but our spiritual life is something that we can very easily control and take control of if we will just take these simple steps that we want to talk about over the next month to make sure that our lives are functioning the way that they should. So I want to challenge you before I jump into the meat of this message today. Be here the next several Sundays, because I think that this series has the potential to really help us set the trajectory of 2018. If we talk about these little steps and some habits that we can form, I think that we are all, as a church, we are all in for a really good year if we will put into practice these things. I'm talking this morning, and we've kind of broken this series down in kind of segments of the day. Today, I'm going to kick off the series by talking about my morning, talking about what we can do very first thing of the day to get started on track. Next week, Pastor John is going to be speaking about my day. He's going to talk about some things that you can do throughout the day. Pastor Jeremy is going to speak the third week of January about evening time. Spend time with family. How do you wrap up your day? And then Pastor Dennis is going to conclude the series at the end of January by talking about my Sunday. How do we serve? How do we take a Sabbath? How do we give back in the midst of the craziness that life can throw at us? But today I want to, like I said, I want to talk about this concept of my morning. And as soon as I say that, I know that a bunch of people kind of sink down in your seats instantly. It's like, morning, let's not talk about the morning time. I don't even want to go there, because mornings have a tendency for a lot of people to be a time that we dread, right? It's like, I don't want to hear the alarm clock. I don't want to actually get out of bed and face the day. And that can be for a number of different reasons. How many would say, I'm just not a morning person? You can raise your hand on that one. Wow, look at all the morning people then. Would you raise your hand if you say you're a morning person? Okay, look, wow. Well, never mind then. This sermon is, we'll just skip it and everybody can go home. And okay, so never mind all that research. Actually, the majority of people typically identify themselves as not a morning person. And they would say, mornings are not my time. But the truth is, all of us can train ourselves to be one way or the other. There's a lot of different things we can do. And what I want to talk about this morning is just a few really practical, basic things that we can do in the very beginning of the day to kind of set the course for the entire day. The verse that we've determined for this series, and I think that it's a really appropriate one, Jeremiah 15:19 says, if you return to me, I will restore you. So for those of us who say, you know, going into this year, my life's just a little bit off track, or my life is totally off track, or I'm doing okay, but I'd really like to get better, this verse is calling us. The Lord is calling us. Make some things a priority in your life, and we can get back on track together. The Lord says, if you return to me, I will restore you. That's an encouragement in itself. If we take the step, the Lord will meet us there. And the very best and perfect way for us to do that is by establishing some very simple steps first thing in the morning that we can do. Now, most people, as we kind of move into the rest of this, most people have a routine of some sort in the mornings, and it may not be a very intentional routine, but it's something that we always fall into. We're going to talk about starting the day, and we're going to work through the acronym, actually, of START. And one of the very first things this morning is literally talking about starting our day is to start your morning with God. Start my morning with God. And one of the best ways to do that is to start it the night before. How do you start your morning the night before? It doesn't mean getting up in the middle of the night. It doesn't mean staying up all night. It doesn't mean, doing all kinds of things that would cause you to lose sleep. But literally, being intentional about how you begin the next day often starts the night before. And I know that's really hard for a lot of us to do. Myself included, I'll throw myself in this category because Brittany and I, we have a habit. It's like Once we get our kids in bed in the evening, it's like that's when the evening really begins, because everything else has been about making sure that they're taken care of, doing the things that we need to do as a family. And so everything else kind of happens after bedtime, which sometimes can get later and later and later. Parents understand that. It's like bedtime routines, you intend for that to be like a 5-minute thing, and it takes 45 minutes sometimes. It's like, how can brushing your teeth and putting on pajamas and saying a prayer be 45 minutes? Easily, without fail. But it's like our night kind of begins after we get the kids in bed, and so it can go on and on and on. And granted, not all of that is productive. I realize that when we're trying to catch up on our favorite shows on Netflix, that may not be the most productive thing. But I will say this, if we can be intentional about the way we end our day, it makes the beginning of our day much, much easier. So if we start our day the night before, we are far more likely to succeed in being productive in the morning. Isaiah 26:9 says this, "In the night I search for you, in the morning I earnestly seek you." In the night I search for you, in the morning I earnestly seek you. How does this all play out? Well, it's kind of simple. If you go to bed on time, you have a far greater possibility of getting up when you want to. And again, listen, I'm terrible at this, okay? I'm just telling you what I've heard works for people. But you're going to have to determine in your life how to succeed at this. And nobody can decide for you what the best time to go to bed is and what time to wake up. I'm not saying you have to get up at the crack of dawn every morning before the sun comes up. Not everybody likes to do that. But if you want to get up and be prepared in the morning, you probably should go to bed at a decent time. One of the things that I have figured out for me that works when it works for me, if I'm preparing for the next morning, oftentimes what I like to do is set things out. Brittany and I went through a phase this last fall where we were both really diligent about working out in the morning. And the way that we accomplished that was the night before, we would set all of our stuff out at the end of our bed. We would both have everything we needed to get up the next morning and work out. That way, when you wake up and you're trying to figure out where in the world you are, you're not totally stumbling around. You've at least eliminated some of the obstacles of getting out of bed, because you've taken care of some of the work already. You know, another thing for some of us that might be beneficial is to move an alarm clock. If you can reach over while you're in bed and touch your alarm clock, or if you sleep with your phone on your chest so that you can literally just hit the snooze instantly, you might need to move your alarm clock. You might need to move it somewhere else so that you have to get up to turn the thing off. And then you might want to stay up once you're up. Another thing that they say helps, which I hate this, I despise it with every ounce of my being, but Brittany does this and it works. When you get up, turn the lights on, okay? If you turn the lights on, you're far more likely to stay up and to actually wake up. They say that light actually causes you, it triggers you to physically wake up. It begins to do things within you that cause you to respond to the day, as opposed to, you know, just kind of stumbling around in the darkness, and then it's like, I'll just lay down again. I can't stand the lights first thing in the morning, but it helps. Some things you can do, and it can help you. So start your morning the night before. It's really simple to take a few of these steps the night before. And then it's really difficult a lot of times to carry them out the next morning. But if we begin to do this, the longer we do it, the more times we walk through this process, the more likely we are to form a habit of carrying through with what we intend to do in the morning. And again, I want to throw this out there. When I say that you need to start your day with God, I'm not saying you have to get up and pray for 2 hours every single morning. You have to determine that. Just like you determine your bedtime, you've got to figure out what works for you with God. How much time do you want to spend with Him? How valuable is this time for you? And then you determine that time. Start your morning with God. And it doesn't have to be before the sun comes up, but make a time that you would commit to spending with Him. The second thing, as we move through the acronym, we start our morning with God, but the second thing, moving on to the letter T, is that we talk to God first. Talk to God first. And this is kind of a, you know, at first it kind of seems a little strange. It's like, well, then do I ignore my spouse, or do I not talk to my kids, or do I not check in on Facebook, or, you know, what exactly are you saying? Well, yeah, I mean, the truth is, you'd probably be more productive in those conversations. You'd be more kind. You may be more joyful if you talk to the Lord first. And I also, I'm not saying you completely ignore everybody in your life, but there's got to be there's got to be a way that, or a pattern that develops in your life, so that as you wake up in the morning, what the goal would be is that the first thing on your mind would be, thank you, God. Thank you for another day. I remember when I was a kid, when I would wake up on the weekends, my dad was always long gone before I got up during the week, but on the weekends, Dad would come in and wake me up, and he would always stand there and sing a song. He was just a happy, joyful guy all the time. And I remember thinking as a kid, you know, when I'm waking up, I wish he'd go away and stop singing. But that idea kind of really stuck in my head that, you know, if you're a joyful person, then that's going to continue throughout your life, and it's going to continue throughout your day, no matter what part of the day it is. Even in the morning, first thing, you can wake up and not think, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's morning again. Some people are like, they're not like, thank God it's morning. It's like, oh my God, it's morning. Some people are like that. But you can turn into one of those people who is thankful and joyful when morning arrives, if you develop the habits of making that happen. And I think that for all of us, if we are going to talk to God first, it's not that we completely shut everybody else out of our life, but it's awareness. It's this awareness as you become awake in the morning and you begin to get out of bed and do the things that you do, you talk with the Lord and you give Him thanks for another day. None of us are promised another day, but if we get in the habit of talking with the Lord first, it can begin to set us on the right track for the rest of the day. Mark 1:35 says this, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. We know that Christ was often surrounded with people, and so in an effort to connect with the Lord, His Father, He would have to isolate Himself. He'd have to go and be alone. And it says right here that because Christ knew the importance of that time of being with the Lord, before daybreak the next morning, He got up and went to an isolated place to pray. We see the precedent set in Scripture that Christ Himself knew that in effort to connect with the Lord, He had to make it an intentional time. He had to make it an intentional time. And for some of us, the only way to get on track with this may be to get up before everybody else. It might be the only way that you can make that happen in your life. Moving along, the letter A in our acronym START says this, ask. Ask, how can I improve my morning routine? Like I said earlier, most of us have a morning routine. It may not be an intentional one, but a lot of times we kind of fall into the same pattern, don't we? I know for me, one of the very first things that I do every single morning, I get up, I brush my teeth. Some people think that's weird because some people like to go down and have their breakfast and then brush their teeth and clean their mouth after that. I can't stand waking up and not brushing my teeth. So I get up and I go immediately to the sink and I brush my teeth. And one of the things quite a while ago that I got into the habit of doing, because right next to the sink, my phone's sitting there charging, I pick up my phone and I go up right away to Facebook and I start reading everybody's, no, just kidding. Immediately, because I want to connect with the Lord in the mornings, the very first thing I do, I open my Bible app and I go to the scripture of the day. It's the very first thing I do. And I read it and I think, how can this apply to me today? and thank you, Lord, for your word. It's the very first thing I do every single morning. And I know that's a really simple thing, but that's part of my process in the mornings of starting my day, is making it a routine to connect with the Lord first. For some of you, it might be a simple step like that. Maybe you don't have a routine where you're connecting through some kind of quiet time, or you're not praying first thing. Maybe you do brush your teeth. And maybe along with that, you can connect something else. You know, when I was reading about these New Year's resolutions, there were a couple of suggestions that came along with ways of actually sticking with a resolution. One of the reasons why people fail is that they kind of think of New Year's resolutions as like a new chore, essentially. And so one of the things that you can do, it suggested that you would do what they call piggybacking. Essentially, you would tie your resolution to something that you're already programmed to do. If we have a routine and you know that there's something that you're doing in the morning that you never give up, like brushing your teeth, for some of you it's making coffee, you know, it's a number of different things. Some of you, it might be ironing clothes, whatever it is, making lunches, tie one of these things that you intend to do to one of those things that you already do and make that a part of your new routine. Maybe as you're packing kids' lunches, you can stand there and pray for your kids in the mornings. Maybe as you're going through the rest of your routine in the morning, taking a shower, whatever it is, you can be productive as you're doing that, and you can tie these things to that. Spend time with the Lord. You have a routine already, so make the most of that routine. Psalm 25:4 says this, "Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow." David, he was such an emotional guy, back and forth all the time, but I love the fact that in the midst of that emotion, there were all these pleas that he wrote out in scripture and in songs to us. And I think that it's such an incredible thing for us to have this, to look back. Show me the right path, Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. That should be the cry of our heart too. As we try to improve our morning routines, let's ask God to give us direction in that. Don't just aimlessly walk about the morning or the idea of trying to plan a new routine, but seek the Lord. Because God wants you to succeed, very much so. And he will guide you in this process. Show me the right path, Lord. Show me the right path. The main thing here in this part of our discussion is this, that we would find consistency. Maybe the majority of your time with God can't be spent first thing in the morning. Maybe there are too many responsibilities that you have very first thing in the morning, and you have another time of day that works. Great. That's great. Take advantage of a different time. But be consistent first thing in the morning of giving thanks and starting the day off right. Every one of us can do that. Whether you get up and spend your quiet time with the Lord, everybody can wake up and give God thanks for the day and just commit the rest of it to him. And I think that if we are intentional about that, what we'll find is that the rest of the day goes better. You ever have one of those days where the routine in the morning just doesn't go as planned? Either your alarm doesn't go off, or something happens to get you up earlier, or maybe one of your kids tells you about something that has to be done that day and they didn't tell you until that morning. Just the whole day gets thrown off. And when our routine, our consistency is disrupted, it seems like we just have a really hard time getting back on course the rest of the day. But if we start the day intentionally focused, and we make an effort to connect with God, it's not a guarantee. Of course, there are lots of things that will continue to come up throughout the day, but we are in a much better place mentally to face those things. So ask, how can I improve my morning routine? Moving on, the letter R stands for this, reflect. And I know that this one right here doesn't completely apply to everybody. I know that there are some people that don't go to work. You might work from home. You might be retired, whatever the case, but reflect on God during my commute. There are a lot of people in this room, myself included. you get in your vehicle and you do commute to work. And that can be an intentional time that you spend being productive in your relationship with the Lord, as opposed to some other time that you just do whatever comes to mind. There are, you know, some of us who drive 10 minutes to work. There are others who drive 30 minutes. There are some that drive an hour to work. That can be a really, really great time for you to connect with the Lord. Maybe you listen to a podcast. Maybe you have your Bible app and you have a passage of scripture that you work through. Whatever the case, maybe you have a prayer list that you can make it through. Make this a productive time instead of just time spent on the road that is for no purpose at all, other than to like yell at the other people around you who aren't driving the way you want them to drive. Make it a time that you can intentionally connect with the Lord and come out, once you get to work, come out on the other side of it a little bit better in your relationship and a little bit more focused on the day. Psalm 118:24 says this: "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This is God's day, and we can make the most of every single one of them. So don't get caught up in the idea of just sitting in your car and participating in the whole race of trying to get there first, even though nobody's going where you're going. Make it a time when you can sit back and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I actually have a job. Thank you that I'm healthy enough to go to a job. Thank you that you gave me a car. Thank you, God. This is your day. I'm going to live for you today. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." How many times have you gotten in the car and then sometime later you mysteriously arrive at a location and you have no idea what in the world happened between those two places? It's kind of scary, isn't it? But our minds, they can just go wherever they want to go unless we take control of our thoughts. And I think one of the easiest things for us to do when we get in the habit is to fix our thoughts on the Lord. Fix our thoughts on the Lord. I remember going through a season several years ago. We had done a series here at church, and I think we called it Above All Else or something like that. But we used the scripture, "Above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows from it." And I just started thinking about that. Everything we do comes from the condition of our heart. You know, what's in your heart will determine the course of every decision that you make. And I remember going through this season following that series where I literally just quoted that 20, 30 times a day. And I thought, Lord, let my heart be for you. Let my thoughts be fixed on you. And in the same way, Isaiah points that out, that the Lord will keep us in perfect peace. We fix our thoughts on him. Make it a priority. Take advantage of the times. If you don't have a commute, if you don't have a dedicated time in the mornings here where you're just sitting still like this, find a different time. Find a time when you can make this happen throughout your day. Reflect on the Lord. And finally, the T in the word start says this: T, trust God with my entire life. Trust God with my entire life. See, here's the thing. For all of us, I think it does become a little bit difficult for us to try to establish a routine, because in some ways it means this part of my day is already determined, and it's determined for me. If I want to commit this to the Lord, then I am essentially giving up control of this 30 minutes, if you determine it to be that long, or this hour, or maybe just this 10 minutes in my day. Any type of, you have a relationship in your life, you're no longer solely in control of that time or that effort or those feelings, whatever the case. And it's the same in our relationship with God. If we're going to commit to a relationship with him, then we've got to relinquish control of some things in our life in an effort to have a relationship and for God to have control. And that requires trust. And so if we trust God with our entire life, part of that means our schedule is not completely ours. We've got to commit time, attention, energy, affection to the Lord in an effort to grow this relationship. Ephesians 3:17 says this, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." How many of you would like to be there? You'd like to be firmly rooted in a relationship with God. Consistent, passionate, devoted. That's what I want for my life. And I think that all of us, if we're honest, would say that that's what we want. And I think that in an effort for us to get there, we're going to have to commit some really, really simple things in our day towards spending time with him. Now, like I've said a couple of times here, it doesn't have to be morning. We're talking about morning as in setting the course of your day. But really, the important thing here is that you would consider the word priority. Is your relationship with God a priority? Is God at the forefront of your mind? When you make decisions throughout the day, are you doing them considering your relationship with the Lord? How are you going about your day, each and every day? And I think that part of that should include us being intentional with how we start our morning, but it's also got to come down to, are you spending quality time with God? Are your thoughts fixed on him? Do you have a regular practice of connecting and building and strengthening that relationship with him? So quickly, just to review the word start. S was to start our day. We're going to start our day by thinking about the Lord. We're going to pray as soon as we wake up, maybe read a scripture. Some way we've got to figure out how to start our day with the Lord. We're going to talk to God first. We're going to ask, how can we improve our morning routine? How can we make it better? Reflect. That does have a T on it. Reflect during your commute. And we're going to trust God with our entire life. How many of you would say, 2018, I may not have a New Year's resolution, but I do have the intention of growing stronger in my relationship with the Lord, connecting with him. Amen. I hope that that is your goal for this year. Lots of us have lots and lots of goals. And as a staff, we really want you to consider, what are you going to do? What sort of goals are you going to set in your life to get back on track with the Lord and make an intentional effort to connect with him each and every day? I think that as individuals, as husbands and wives and parents, as a church, we will be much, much stronger, happier, healthier, more joyful, and more productive if we can just take a couple of steps, very intentional, simple steps to connecting with the Lord. Again, these next couple of weeks, we're going to talk more about things you can do throughout your day to get back on track. And I do want to challenge you to be here each week. I think it's going to be good. If you have to miss a week, these messages will be online and you can connect in that way. But Pastor Jeremy's going to come up and conclude us this morning. And I want you to, as we conclude today, I want you to just keep these things in mind, that we can start our morning with the Lord and get on track, or back on track if that's the case, with him, and do our very best throughout our morning and our day. Thank you so much.